Regular listeners to the program will know that we are great supporters of Gippsland artists and very keen to encourage their work. But we're also very interested in Gippsland businesses and how they might develop. And this next story is a very pleasant and encouraging combination of both. So I'm very happy to welcome Montana McStay. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Montana, you're a Gippsland working artist, but you've also started a small business, which we'll get to in a minute. But can we go back to the way back to, I think, year 12, when you really discovered your artistic bent and enthusiasm?
My first big piece was in, it was in year 12. I had previously done bits and pieces of Aboriginal art, just like in the comfort of my own home, you know, for friends and family, stuff like that. But I was born, you know, a very creative and artistic little girl. Like I was always, you know, painting and drawing and like bead making. And just my dad, he was, he's passed on now, but he was an amazing drawer. And I would just sit there and watch him for hours. And mum, she's very like crafty too. She does craft blanks and all that kind of stuff. So it was always around me. And then, yeah, like throughout high school, I did it, but it wasn't until year 12 when I did my first piece. I spent 9 months on it. It was difficult with timetables and everything, and school holidays making it hard. So of course it wasn't, all day, every day, but, it was majority of the time. And that is now hanging up, in my mum's house. That's, 4 meters by 2 meters around about that piece. So it's a, Dreamtime piece of art, but I have done a portrait of my nana just recently, which you might have seen. So
at what point did it gel that this might move from being a kind of pleasant thing to do, as you say, in the privacy of your own home, into something that actually you might make a bit of a living out of?
Well, when I was doing that piece of art, I did have a lot of the teachers approach me as well. And obviously, I was young and I had no idea. Like, I just loved doing my art. You know, I wasn't in it for that kind of stuff. But I had a lot of people outside and inside school approach me and make multiple offers on the piece, actually. So, and, you know, a lot of the kids would come in and just ask questions and sit there and watch me while I painted, because no one, you know, I was one of three people, I think, in the high school, Aboriginal students. So, yeah, it was in that moment, you know, like I really thought that there's people out here, you know, that have genuine interest in my art, and learning about the Gunai Kanai symbolism we use as well in our culture. So, I did have that in my mind that I do want to do this someday as a career. You know, it's just like healing for me, and it allows me to have some time out, and yeah. So it's my calling for sure.
Well, yeah, sort of getting involved in a minor bidding war for your work must have been a bit of a hint to you that there was potential in there.
Yeah, definitely. Like it was one of the vice principal, actually. He came to me and I'm not, hesitant about throwing out a number out there, but they did offer me up to $8,000.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah.
You mentioned that you find the process a healing one, and that you like working with the local symbolism. And I think one of the things that the European community struggles with is that this nation really, or the country, was really a whole series of nations. So, in fact, the Kanai symbolism is not going to be exactly the same as somewhere else. And of course, Victoria has gone through a terrible process of mixing people up. So it must be, I suspect, just a bit difficult to get a complete handle on the real story here.
It has been a real struggle in that sense. I'm glad you have brought that up, actually, because it is something that made me very hesitant during high school and my early 20s, because I, you know, there's people that approach you and they do ask you a lot of questions, and sometimes they say that you can't do it, you know, like, and they're not anyone like I mean this in the nicest way, but they're not anyone higher above me. You know what I mean? So it's them coming to me and saying, you can't do that, blah, 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 blah. So I stopped, doing what I wanted to do and what I felt naturally that I should be doing. And I just started following, I guess, what people wanted me to do. So I kind of took a step back from, just trying to sit and do art. And I really, wanted to educate myself on what I am doing. And I want to be able to approach people and explain it to them and answer their questions, So I obviously, mum, I'm Aboriginal on my mum's side. So mum has taught me, so much about our culture. And she's just dug up so much history. And because it's just very lost, and one of my uncles, he works for an organization down here, an Aboriginal organization, and he has helped me a lot understand the symbols. So in saying that, I did do a trip to Udnadatta, South Australia, in when I was 18. So I'm nearly 26 now, so it was a fair while ago. But up there, I learned a lot of the symbols which my great grandmother actually would have used, and my nana. So that comes into it too, I guess, your heritage and where you're from, your mob, like what you connect to. So that is a huge part of me, like my nana, my great grandmother. So I carry that very proudly. And they up there, they use a lot more dots as per se than we do down here. So we do use a lot of line work in Gunai Kurnai art, because we're traditionally not supposed to paint dots. I wouldn't say not supposed to, but it's not common in our art. So yes, to answer your question, it is very, very different. No single place is the same. And although it might be a similar style of painting, it could have a completely different meaning.
You've been trying as part of that, getting into the language, which again must be tricky given the terrible colonialization process that's happened here.
Yeah, absolutely. The language is something I'm really passionate about, and that is something that I do offer to do. And I go into schools and I teach kids about art and language a lot. I have gained so much knowledge over, like, obviously we're still all learning. We never stop learning. But, over the past 3 years, I have, like, just really done my research, and I've read books and I've spoken to elders. And because the language is like, the language is so lost because of our elders, quite a few of them suffered from trauma, and as some of us may or might not know, like trauma affects, our memory and everything as a child. So everything that we have learned, or they, elders have learned, sometimes they just forget, and it's not until they're actually around that community or their mob that they remember, it comes back to them. So I was, speaking the lingo in Udnadatta quite frequently by the time I left. Like, it was Pitjantjatjara language, and that is my great-grandmother's, one of her languages. So I was just feeling like eating a bit, being able to understand what they're saying and everything. But as far as my own language, Gunai Kurnai, I have been given a lot of old books by my nana, and one of them actually is a language book. So I don't believe you can buy it anymore. So that's how old it is. And it's just, it's so fragile, but in there it has so many words and phrases that I use. And I like to call my artwork some of that as well, because that helps get the language out there too. So
you said before that you find it healing. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Definitely. I think painting, mental health plays a huge part. Like, I feel like all painters, they at some stage in their life, they have come through a bit of a hiccup and they've turned to painting, and it's just really helped them, put their thoughts at ease, create your own world, I guess you could say. I mean, I watched a documentary on Bob Ross the other night, and, he's just like, you can create a magical world, like anything you want. You can put anything you want on the canvas, and you make it as happy as you want, and blah, blah, blah. So, which is true, So, and I guess it's for me too. It's a lot of the stuff that I didn't learn, or that I wanted to learn from my elders that are no longer with me. It's me interpreting how I would have learned that or what it means to me, you know? So, yeah, just it's just a quiet time, a quiet space, you know, where I can think and reminisce and put my thoughts on canvas.
So, as you've started to develop your own small business, can you talk a little bit about how the self-employment assistance program run by Interwork has how you engaged with that and how that's worked with you?
So I did that with, I had a couple of coaches teaching me. One lady, she was absolutely lovely. She really, really helped me as far as needing to cover my insurance because I'm an art business. I wasn't really sure what type of insurance I would need, and if the one, well, if the one that I had was correct. So I was, yeah, able to get the right, you know, connections for that, the right contacts. And as far as my confidence as well, really, like just being able to express myself and put my name out there and have everything ready, example for the expo. Yeah, because people are just there to talk to, you know, they're not just there to figure employment and, you know, that kind of thing. There is a, you know, you can rebound ideas off them as well. So yeah, it's just so helpful in every aspect, and I know that I will forever have someone to speak to about it or any problems that I have, so.
So you mentioned the expo and they're running a Dedley in Gippsland, a First Nations Business Expo is coming up in early May. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'm very excited, very, very excited for that. So I will be leaving on Monday afternoon to travel up there and settle in. I'm traveling up there with my mum, so that is, you know, where she grew up. So she'll be able to, you know, over the 2 days, we'll be able to spend a lot of time together and do a lot of cultural things that she wasn't able to do with me because she's just such a busy woman. But yeah, I will have a lot of things on display there. So a lot of stuff that I've done in the past, I've just spent last week like printing off some photos and putting on the posters because obviously I don't have that art with me. It's all been sold. The time that I spent in Oonadatta, I've printed off some photos from there because that was a huge learning experience for me. And I actually went on an enterprise trip up there as well. So that was, you know, such an eye-opener. And yeah, I have a couple of products. I have four little emu, well, no, they're not very little, but emu eggs on stands that I'm, you know, having on display that I've painted. And I have probably about four other artworks that I'll have on display as well, as my portrait, my natal entry, which is my great grandmother.
Thanks very much for your time. It's been a very short touch sort of exploration of your work and look forward to catching more of your work in the future.
Thank you very much.